This is Story Mosaics. Hey, I'm excited today because someone finally took me seriously. You remember that every week we're talking about something about Story Mosaics, and that is this. We want to help others tell their stories because everyone has a story. In fact, if you want to boil our mission down very simply, is everyone has a story, and we want to help you tell yours. And so we're very excited today because after I presented something a few weeks back, one of the neatest things happened was Linda wrote me from Cincinnati, and she said, I have something to tell you. I've got a story to tell that fits in with a topic that you just spoke of. And the topic was a little bit offhand. It wasn't the central focus of what we were talking about, but the topic was that someone said they had heard God speak to them. And I think I may have even made a joke about that in that that there might be a medication for that or something like that. But the fact is, we oftentimes want to talk about and understand better this concept, this idea of God desiring to communicate to us and communicate with us. So many times, one of the frustrations I have is that people think that prayer is a one-way thing, that we talk, God listens, that's it. But God wants to be in a relationship with us. God wants to be in a relationship where he communicates to us as well. And Linda wrote me and said, hey, I've got a story. I read through just a little bit of it because I didn't want to spoil the whole thing by knowing the whole story, but I wanted to just grab this moment and say, we need to share this with others. So welcome, Linda, to Story Mosaics. Thanks for being here. I've known Linda actually for a very long time. We're not going to say how long, okay, Linda?
It's all right with me. I get it out of the box, so we're good.
Oh, but we've known each other for a very long time, but actually had not talked in years and years and years and years and years and years and years. So it's so good, and we've been catching up over the last few days, and both through email and through a couple of phone calls. So that's been great. But Linda, you had a situation that really opened your eyes to God speaking to you. And what was fun is this is the only time I will capture something you told me, but I just love this too much. It was that you said the title of this is very simple. How I Learned to Hear God's Voice by Ignoring Him.
And I'm very good at that.
You were very good at ignoring God. Yeah. And he was knocking on your door trying to speak to you. And so finally through something that was very, really traumatic, he got your attention and he spoke to you. So Linda, I'm going to turn it over to you and you start telling the story. Don't be afraid if I interrupt you, because as every man, if you will, I'm kind of everyone who's listening to you. And when there's something I don't understand or something I want to understand more of, I might interrupt you and just ask you for a little bit more information, but I want you to hear your story.
I'm smiling, but my adrenaline is pumping because just thinking of this, it brings back so many feelings and memories. I had attended the Walk to Emmaus in Cincinnati and was in what we call an accountability group, where I met with a group of ladies once a week at church. And we had this little pamphlet to go through that came from the upper room, and we had to answer certain questions. And I wrote down here, because I don't have the best memory anymore, and one of the questions was, how has God been working in your life this past week? And a lot of times when people ask you, how is God working in your life, you expect like big things, like, you know, something big happened. Well, this very kind of shy friend of mine named Carol Rohrabach said, well, I have something to share how God's been working in my life, but it's really strange because I feel like God told me in prayer time to communicate something to Linda. And I'm like, what? You know, I was thinking to myself, this is your time to talk.
Don't talk about me.
I've got my own issues. But she said, I feel kind of weird about it because I'm kind of embarrassed. And she said, we're supposed to trust each other in this group. And she said, and it just didn't go away. It came to me again in prayer that I was supposed to share Psalm 91 with Linda. And I thought in my mind, isn't that about, you know, protection and danger and stuff? And I lived in like the suburbs of Cincinnati, felt perfectly safe. But I was like, well, God can do anything. And if Carol thinks he's speaking to her, then I certainly wouldn't not want to hear it because it might apply. I don't know.
Well, let me read Psalm 91 here, yeah, Linda, because it'd be so good for them to hear it. And you mentioned to me one time that her name is in your Bible beside this Psalm. That's how important it was.
Yeah. I wrote it that very night because I thought this is important. So I wrote it right then at that point in the late 80s.
So I'm going to read the whole psalm. It's not very long, okay, but I think it's so powerful. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare, from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on lion and cobra. You will trample the ground and the great lion and the serpent, because He loves me, says the Lord. I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him in and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. That's a strong psalm, but you were hearing it from a perspective. You didn't even know. She just said, this is for you.
Absolutely. And my first thought was, well, I feel perfectly safe. You know, I mean, it was about protection, and I'm kind of like thinking, you know, I live in a what I consider to be just a regular old place, and I didn't fear anything, really. And so what happened with that was that everybody in my group said, thank you for, you know, being vulnerable. Thank you for sharing what you think God was saying to you. And then we all decided, if for some reason God wasn't speaking to her, that's okay. But if God was speaking to her and she didn't tell me, and that was something God wanted me to know, then it would be wrong for all of us to basically be, you know, not just take it seriously. So I wrote her name in my Bible, and I started reading that. I was having like a daily prayer time in the morning, and I started reading that. And then I decided to tell my parents about it. So I said, Mom and Dad, you know, they were Christians. I said, Carol Rohrbach from my accountability group said that she thinks God told her to share this psalm with me, and she's not sure why, and I'm not sure why, but I wrote her name in my Bible, and I said, and my mom and dad knew exactly what it was. They were like, oh, that's the one about being protected, and you shall not dash your foot against a stone. You shall only see with your eyes. It shall not come near you. I said, yeah, that's the one. And so my mom and dad said, I need a tissue. My mom and dad said, well, Linda, then you need to start praying for protection.
Wow.
And my first thought was, from what?
From what?
And I had no idea. So I did. I started praying. So I started saying, Lord, I don't know why. I've never heard this kind of thing before, but Carol thought this was for me from you. And so I'm just asking that you would please protect me and help me and keep me from danger. And then I went about my regular life, and about at least a year passed. And
wow. Now, Linda,
it occurred to me every once in a while that I needed to be protected, but I was still like, from what?
Everything's going okay. And one of the things we oftentimes do when we don't think God's really going to say anything, we kind of say, well, if you, and we put a lot of ifs and maybes in there because ifs give God an out. But God was saying, no, I'm going to call this to your attention regularly. Now, I'm going to fast forward this because you've been praying this for a year.
And at least, yeah.
At least. And I did not know it was that long because I would have put pause on that and said, I'll get back to that one later. But God, for some reason, was bringing this to your mind over and over again. Mm-hmm. Did you stay in that Bible study with that group for a long time then?
Yes.
Or, okay. So
yes. And it happened. What happened to me happened after that Bible study.
Okay. So
one night we were still in that accountability group.
So fast forward to that evening and tell me a little bit about how God showed up.
Okay. Well, here's what happened. I'm on my way to the accountability group and I was a special ed teacher and I'm always running, you know, ragged and I try not to be late, but sometimes I am. And I just had a lot going on, but I wanted to get to the church on time. I really did. You know, there's a song about get me to the church on time. So I tried to. So I knew that I was going to need to get bottled water because at that point, for some reason, I was drinking a lot of water. Probably I was on Weight Watchers or something, but I was drinking a lot of water and I didn't really like tap water. I thought it didn't taste that great. And I said, you got bottled water too. So, yay. So, you never know what's in our water.
That's
so
right.
Anyway, so I said to myself, you got to stop and get water. You got to stop and get water. So I'm driving down what 5 mile road and there was a grocery store called Thriftway that I would have had to get in the left-hand lane and go into that grocery store, but I would have been late for the prayers, and it wasn't even dark yet. It was October, maybe it was going to be dusk when I came out of the Bible study, but it certainly wasn't going to be dark. So I felt this feeling inside of me and kind of a thought coming to me that said, get in the left-hand lane, go to Thriftway and get your water now. And I said, no, I'm going to my Bible study, and I think I'm saying no to myself.
Like, that's right.
And I said, you don't have time for that right now. You got to get to the church on time. Come on. And so I did not get into the left-hand lane.
Oh,
and
wow.
I just really intentionally ignored that thought that came to me. So here I am driving down the same road, 5 mile road. On the right is the church. On the left is Kroger. And once more, I felt this urge to get into the left-hand lane and turn left and go to Kroger and get my water. And I said once more, you're almost at the church. It's right there. So I said, no, you can do that afterwards. So I turned right instead of left and I went into the church. We had our accountability group. And everything was just fine. Oh, in the meantime, I had had a dream a few months ago before that. And this dream was the weirdest dream. In my dream, I was running and yelling and screaming for help, but it was in a voice that I did not recognize as my own. It was kind of guttural and it was like a weird, scary thing. And so when I woke up that morning, I have a sense of humor and I was like, well, I'm only going to be running in my dream because I'm certainly not going to be running in real life. You know, I thought runners looked miserable. Walkers look fine. So anyway, but I had that dream that I was running and yelling for help. So I was like, well, that was weird. So anyway, I come out of the Bible study and I still was going to get that water because I kept having the prompt to get it, get it, get it. And so I'm like, well, now you're going to get the water. You know,
and you said it now it's a little bit later, about an hour later.
Yes.
And so it's getting a little bit toward dusk.
Dusk. And it was October. So it was kind of brisk out. And I love autumn and I love the feel of the changes of the season. And there's some excitement in the air too. So I had some excitement. Plus, it was a grand opening of a brand new Kroger. So there were bag boys everywhere and they were treating us like we were, you know, royalty just to come in and see the new store. And my dad worked for Kroger and was a personnel manager. So we had to go to all the Kroger stuff. So anyway, so I parked as close as I could to the store. I was the car right next to the handicap parking lot. Like there were handicap, 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 me. And I was right in front of the store and there were bag people everywhere. The streetlights were starting to come on.
Wow.
The overhead lights. And it was starting to get kind of a little bit dark, but not real dark. I could still see real well. So I said, well, make this quick. Because I knew how many, it was a joke that you got to get this water. So I ran into the Kroger store, I grabbed the water, and I went through the quick lane, the 12 or less or 10 or less, whatever it was at the time. And I threw the water on the conveyor belt and paid for it, ran back to my car, opened the door, threw in my water, threw in my purse. And I'm starting to sit down, and I all of a sudden felt myself.
I have to pause just for a moment.
Please do.
Because where did you throw the water at? In the front seat there?
Yeah, right okay. In the passenger seat. And I just tossed it.
Okay.
It's about this big.
Okay.
So I don't have to go every day. Let me get a gallon.
And then the purse is in there as well.
I threw my purse in.
Okay.
Because, you know, I was in a hurry to get home because it was starting to get dark. And who wants to be driving around single in the dark? You probably don't. I was a single woman at the time. So not that that matters. I mean, nobody could have saved me if I, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
We can delete that out. But anyway, so I threw in my purse. I threw in the water. And that's exactly what I did because I was in a hurry. And I started to sit down and I had my part of my body on the seat, my hand on the door to close the door. And instead of closing the door, I was really not physically able to finish the process of locking myself in. I actually felt myself being almost lifted up. And I found myself outside of my car wondering what the heck is wrong, because I felt a sense of foreboding, a sense of fear, and I didn't know why. And so I decided, I had not locked all my doors. I did not have a kind of a car where you lock automatically. I would have had to go around to all of them, and I wasn't about to do that. So I thought, well, you know, maybe somebody threw something in the back of my car, because at that point, my senses were kind of heightening and I was smelling something. And it kind of smelled like cigarettes and it kind of smelled like beer. And my thought was somebody threw their trash in my back seat. And I thought, well, it ticked me off a tiny bit, but I thought, well, just get it out of there. And then I thought, well, maybe I'm in the wrong car. And so I walked behind my car because I don't smoke or drink. You know, I drink a little bit here and there, but not to where my whole car would be smelling like alcohol. So I walked behind my car, read my license plate and said, yeah, that's my license plate. And then I walked into my car and I looked in the front seat and I thought, what's strange? So I decided that whatever the smell was, I needed to get that out of my car. So I put my hand on the door, it was a four door of the back seat. And I looked in as I was trying to open the door and I saw a pair of eyes looking at me from the floor of my car. And all I could see were eyes. And there's that part in that verse, you shall see it with your eyes, but it will not come near you. There was also this part about the angels will take care of you. And so what happened at that point was that my dream came true. The dream where I'm running and yelling and I don't recognize my own voice. So I'm running toward Kroger and yelling. And what I was yelling was, I can't believe it. God saved me. I can't believe it. God saved me.
You were saying this as you were screaming it.
Yeah, I wasn't screaming for help. I was screaming, God saved me. God saved me. Because I could only imagine if there's eyes in my car, there's probably a body attached to it. And that's not a good thing. You know, because it wasn't someone I invited in. So this little lady stopped me and said, honey, what's wrong? And I said, in this guttural voice that I really didn't recognize, I said, there's someone in my car that was waiting for me. And I said, and God saved me. God didn't let me get in. You know, I said, just God saved me. She said, well, let's call she called the police. So the police came and it didn't take them long to get there. And so what happened was I'm in the police car and we were near my car and I was in shock. I was shaking. I really was in shock. And so the policeman who I knew, who went to our church, held up this jug and said, ma'am, is this your water? And I said, yes. And I'm thinking, why is he asking me this? Because I was just traumatized. He said, ma'am, is this your purse? I said, yes. And then he held up something else and he said, ma'am, is this your gun? And my first thought was, because I was in shock, I said, that's not real, because it was really little and it had mother of pearl on it. And I said, that can't be real. That's got to be a toy. He said, oh no, ma'am, it's real and it's loaded. And at that point, I just had to say, God just saved me. And I was in shock.
Linda.
And I had post-traumatic stress kind of things after that. Like I couldn't turn the lights off at home I slept in my parents' house, even though I lived by myself as a single person.
Linda, it's just so
home to my parents.
What's interesting to me is you were telling this story, you stopped with the police had arrived, but there was a big chunk of time that you kind of left out because I think you went black during that time. You know, you were not recognizing all the things that were transpiring around you. They obviously had gotten into the vehicle or gotten the gun from this individual, and they're trying to figure all these things out. And
here's what I heard happened. Bad boys saw someone leaving my car. Basically, he was on the floor of the back seat, so he had to get up and leave my car. And so bad boys actually chased the person who was in my car because I was yelling and running away from the car. The guy who had been in my car stopped at the corner of the parking lot, put his hand in a coat. He had a jacket on and was trying to pull something out, which probably was the gun. But he had dropped it and had fallen out as he was going from the back seat to the front seat to get out of the car. It had fallen out right next to my water. And so things had happened, but I was, they told me about it later. They told me and nobody caught him.
Linda, I can completely understand the PTSD on this moment because, I mean, just the trauma of that moment and everything. And yet, in the midst of all of that trauma, in the midst of the PTSD, there was this, if you will, the mantra of God saved me. God saved me. And he did. And now, here's what's interesting. I started writing down the number of times that you ignored him, okay? I came up with at least four times where he's saying, Linda, trying to get your attention. I'd really rather you go into the Thrifty. I'd really rather you go into the Kroger now. And we sometimes do this in our arguments with God. And what's interesting about this, Linda, it's so fascinating to me because it is not that God does not desire to speak to us. It truly is that we don't want to listen because it interrupts us, doesn't it?
Yes. And can you imagine God is so loving and so kind and good. Had I known his voice at that time and gone into Thriftway or whatever, I wouldn't have even been in that Kroger parking lot. So sometimes he's trying to save us from things that won't even happen that won't even come true in a bad way, like, 'cause he just knows the pieces of the puzzle and can help put our lives together, even though we don't know the pieces. If I had gone into Thriftway, I wouldn't have had the experience in Kroger. But this whole thing was out of love for me. And so what now when I try to ignore his voice, I think, well, I kind of know it's when I talk to myself, I'm usually saying something not nice to myself, like that was a stupid thing to do or whatever. But when a thought comes to me, and it might even be something like tell somebody something that I've had God tell me to tell people, that strangers, that they looked really nice and that they were well put together or whatever, just stupid stuff. And I as I thought they needed to hear it. I don't know why. I don't know the person, but that voice is in my thinking, and it's something that it's just, I think God speaks to people, you know, in different ways.
Well, and I think it's really important, Linda, just to kind of camp on that just for a moment, because God is desirous to speak to us and through us. You know,
Yes.
your friend Carol, God spoke through her. He spoke
Yes.
to you. And not only is he wanting to speak to us and through us, but there's ways to kind of check it. You know, it's interesting because your parents, you ran it past your parents. I think there's moments where we can be impressed by the wrong voices, okay, if you will. Not, and I'm not talking
Yes.
about weird stuff, okay? I'm just talking about God's voice. We can be impressed by those wrong voices in our head, the mantras of the enemy, if you will, at that moment. But there are then ways to check it. You ran it past your parents and said, hey, and they immediately knew the verse, knew its intent, and then gave you instruction accordingly. You're going to need to pray for the protection in your life. And they didn't give you a timetable. They didn't tell you the when. They just knew the next step. And that's what it means to be really listening to the Lord on that day-to-day basis. And, you know, if we will, I believe that he longs to speak to us literally on a day-to-day basis.
I believe that too.
You know, but it
I
took.
believe that too. It's become one of the most precious parts of my entire life.
That's the key there, Linda, is that it's become a part of your life because of the lessons you've learned along the way. Is okay, now I anticipate that he's going to. And my wife and I take this very, very, very seriously, is that we share it with one another. And so often we'll recognize, okay, God is speaking to us both. And I had an instance where I was driving home the other day and needed to stop by the hospital. It was so clear that the Lord was just asking me to stop by the hospital to visit somebody who I knew was in there. What I didn't know was that my friend was dying in there. And so, you know, God says, yes, you needed to go see her, but I needed you to see him. And got there within just hours before he passed, just because I've become attuned to his voice. You know, I had a friend of mine say this one time, and it was so precious. The more I listen for his voice, the more I recognize his voice. And when you've listened long enough, you know what he's saying, you know how he says it.
Absolutely. And I will tell you that since I have developed, and I say developed because I've worked at it, because
Sure.
the Bible does say that if you are praying and you have something against somebody, to first go and forgive that person or whatever. I have learned to forgive and not hold grudges and not hold resentment, any, not because I'm a good person, but because I don't want any of that to get in the way of what
There
God
you
might be
go.
saying to
There
me.
you go.
And if I don't let that go, then it's in the way of him communicating with me, because he doesn't, you know, think of people
Yeah.
the way we might, you know, if we're allowed to make mistakes and still be loved. So if somebody even
That's
says
right.
something or does something against me that's even kind of obvious, which has happened, you know, because we're in a human world, that I immediately have to forgive that person, because I will not be okay if I don't,
Linda,
in my relationship with the Lord.
I want to take the folks who are listening in right now, and I want to take them back to that moment. And we're gonna wrap the program up this just in a few moments. But I want them to recognize that you were persistent, you were listening, you were watching, and you were aware. But still, you did not know when that moment might come. And when it came, it was such a powerful moment. And I know that just because the power of what you've said, you've alerted the people who are listening in and saying, I want to listen. I want to listen. I really want to listen so that I can be guarded and so I can
it's
be
exciting.
Protected. It is. It is. And you mentioned when we came on that you had an adrenaline rush because of two things. You're here on the podcast, but also because this was a traumatic event in your life.
Extremely. I have a sense now when I walk into a parking lot or something. For a while there, I would ask people to escort me to my car like a bag person who's 16 years old and I'm in my 20s or something. And now I have a heightened sense of awareness in any parking lot that I am aware of where I am. And I will tell other people, be aware.
Yeah. Well, and I'm going to encourage people to listen to the Lord. As you spoke, Linda, I could have written down a dozen things in the last 2 weeks where my wife and I have said we've seen God working, and sometimes he's working clear around the world and we're hearing his voice about that situation. We have such a privilege and an honor. And I want to remind those who are listening in too, because here's what evolved in this moment is, not only has Linda come on and encouraged us and given us a real hope that we can hear God's voice and we can act on God's voice. And there's a whole lot of levels to this. And so you need to find your way into a really strong church that can help you understand how to hear God's voice and how to be taught in that. But also I want to say that because of Linda's obedience, here's what she told me. When her first email, she said, I've got a story. I need to tell it. She shared with me a little bit. I said, you do need to tell it. She said, can we do this soon before I back out? And there are people who are listening today who have a story, because the fact is everyone has a story, and we want you to tell it. We want you to share it. Everybody has a story, and we want you to tell that story. So would you do me a favor, those who are listening in right now, if you have a story, I think Linda wrote it to me in probably 1,500 words. It was very, very brief, but it gave me the essence of what took place. When the police officer said, is this your gun? I was sold on the story, okay?
So, I wasn't shocked already, though.
Yeah, already. And so if you have a story, would you write me at storymosaics or story.mosaics@gmail.com? Oh, it's story.mosaics1@gmail.com. There it is. It's on the screen. But for those of you just listening in, story.mosaics1@gmail.com, would you just jot me that story? Because I want others. And Linda, you've been such an encouragement, and your energy is so contagious. I just love it so much that
I'm
we've had a chance.
Not because that bad thing happened, but because God is so good.
Amen.
And that he wants to speak to all of us.
Oh, thank you so much for joining us.
And even though I ignored him, he still kept at it.
He was knocking on the door. He was knocking on the door. Thanks so much, Linda, for joining us. And thank you all for joining us as well. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.